You're in a good place now. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight, I'm asking you a question. I'm asking you a question that very often we overlook. I think for the most part, we don't even think about it. It's something that really doesn't even kind of mesh in. It's the thing that, until someone else points it out, we don't even know it exists. And I'm asking tonight, how limiting is your language? And I noticed some of you are asking me, what in the heck are you talking about? How limiting is my language? And you know, it's interesting because language is something that we learn before we even fathom that we're learning anything. I know that most of you don't remember back to the womb. I mean, some of you might, but even in the womb, we can hear and subconsciously understand what's being said. We even feel the feelings from inside of basically the idea or the concept, whether it's happy or solidly good or loving. And we could feel that. We could feel that because of being in that womb. We could feel the feelings and the emotion. We might not even understand what is being said at the time, but we can feel that. And I think it's interesting that when it comes to language, we don't often realize the key subtleties that certain words and sayings and sentences can mean. I find that we often take for granted what language does to us. How it makes us feel. Better yet, does it help us feel like a winner? Or does it help us feel more like a loser? It's interesting what language can do, because language can build us up or it can break us apart. Think about it. Someone like Martin Luther King could stand up and talk about how we can all get together and be one and understand the real direction, what democracy really means. Or you could have David Duke get up, and I'm not trying to bash on any particular person, but he could sit there and talk about how the United States should be divided and how one race is better than the other. And language can divide people all the time. It does it all the time. And we don't think about language. We don't think about it until something happens, like hurt words between somebody. For example, you know, someone tells you to go whatever off, you know? That can be a make it or break it for any relationship or friendship. But we often take for granted the subtleties, the small things. We take for granted what language actually does to us, okay? How it makes us feel. Because I think it's always interesting, because language can really build you up, and your own personal language inside of you and what you speak out loud can change your entire life. And I want to talk about our language tonight. And I want to talk about how limiting some of this language can be. And I want to talk about how expansive language can also be. And you know, because the show is called Perspectives, I want to look at this concept from two different perspectives. And I want to start talking about it from the therapist perspective. Not from a personal perspective at this point, because I think if you look at it from an outside source, so in my life's journey, one of the most important things to me is to help guide, allow guidance, offer advice, offer help to people who may need help and who have asked for help. It's a big difference from just putting your thought process on someone else and telling them how to live their life. But if somebody's really honestly asked you for help and you can actually offer that help, it's right duty to do so. And so as a therapist, people have to make an appointment and come in. So it's not just my friends and I hanging out at the bar. I mean, sometimes I'm offering the bar Pez dispensing, you know, help on love and whatnot, but on from the therapist's perspective, it's about somebody coming in because they are looking for answers, they're looking for understanding in their life, and they're trying to figure out why certain things are happening and why certain things aren't, and why certain things have worked in their life and certain things haven't. And so one of the things that I hear often, and this is very funny because I understand exactly where it comes from, but like I was talking about, language has these subtleties, right? And what we say is very interesting. For example, always and never. Always and never are very interesting words to use because it's either one way or another. It's a very black and white concept, right? For a good example, she never does this. He always does that. He never puts the toilet seat down and she never listens to me. Is that true? Has there not been one time that toilet seat's been down? Is that true? Does she never, ever, ever listen to you? And those subtleties are interesting because they build a case in our mind. They build a case in our mind, and we're constantly the judge and the jury, and some of us are also the executioner, where we build this case up. Oh, God. This is never going to work. This never happens for me. I should just give up right now, because any time that I've ever tried to do something this big in my life, it always falls apart. That right there is very limiting language. And I hear it all the time in my office. It's always or never. No, I do hear it very often. I would have to say that at the current time, almost 85% of all my clients don't realize that their language they use every single day is limiting their life. It's limiting their life experience, what they're able to experience, the options they have, and who they are. Because we often hear people say, you know, we talk about the glass ceiling. We don't want to be put in a box. We don't want to be typecast in life. All these people are trying to typecast me in life. Why is this happening to me? Wah! You know, oftentimes, unless you're an A-list, not necessarily an A-list. Oftentimes, if you're an actor and you're playing a certain role and you're really good at character acting, yes, you might get typecast as the bad guy. You might get typecast as the sheriff. You might get typecast as the thug, the professor. I don't know. You get it. You know what I'm talking about. You can think about characters right now that you constantly see in big budget films that are always kind of the bad guy, the jerk, the professor, whatever it is, and they play a good role, but they constantly play that same kind of vibe. But what I'm talking about tonight is that we can actually typecast our life, especially based on our language. We can totally typecast our life. We can make ourselves be a total different person. We can create things, we can get rid of things, we can take the air out of things, all based on how we say things, the internal language we use, and the external language that we use. The other day I had a client come in and she said, I hate my life. And I said, what do you mean? She goes, I hate my life. And I go, what do you mean you hate your life? I mean, what? Tell me what it is in your life that you hate. I hate all of it. I'm just so sick and tired. Okay, so just think about what was just said. I hate my life, and I'm just so sick and tired. And I know that this might be comical to some people listening right now, but if you understand where I'm going at, you're going to get this pretty loud and clear. So not only does she hate her life, but she's also sick and tired, meaning that she's probably sick and tired. So there's no, it's funny because they go, I don't know why I can't get out of bed. I have a difficult time getting out of bed. Well, you just said that you hate your life and you're sick and tired. I mean, I don't know. It sounds like a self-fulfilling prophecy to me. And, you know, at first people go, what in the heck are you talking about? And I go, let's deconstruct what you just said and decide if we can make any changes to it. Because I'll tell you one thing, it would be really, really tough for me to get out of bed every day if I hated everything in my life and if I was always constantly sick and tired. Because you know what? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, the next thing that I like to talk about with clients too is one of the things that I hear often is that I'm sad. I'm angry. I'm depressed. I'm overwhelmed. Okay? We've heard these often. You don't even have to go to a therapist. You don't have to be a therapist to know what I'm talking about because you probably often have friends that come to you and tell you how depressed they are. I'm depressed. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm imbalanced. I'm crazy. Think about those kind of things, okay? When we return, I'm going to be talking about what that means and what that subtly does to us and over a period of time, what that type of language can cause. Stay tuned, because when we return, I'm going to be talking about limiting language and how to expand your language to expand your life. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in, well, be back this time in two shakes.
Up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives. Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Wow, we're talking about language tonight. We're talking about the language we use and how oftentimes our language is very limiting. We found a way to craft a life that we can basically have all kinds of problems. And it's okay because that's life. It's life to be beaten down and abused. It's life to have your butt handed to you. It's life because that's life. And we're human. We're meant to make mistakes because we're only human. And so right before the break, I was talking about the perspective of the therapist perspective and what I often hear, not always, not never. Stop using those words. She's always mean. He never wants to have sex. Yes, I hear that often. It's okay. But there really isn't always, and there really isn't a never. But it's easy to kind of blend that together to make us feel a certain way. You know, when I was talking about when I have clients that come in and say they hate their life, it's like, it's really hard to get out of bed. If you really genuinely hate your life and you talk about it all the time, and you talk about how sick and tired you are all the time, that's a problem. That's a real problem because it's going to be a real pickle to try to get out of bed. I'll tell you that because I sure the heck fire couldn't. I would be like overcome with depression. Why do I even bother? Why don't I just start smoking cigarettes and maybe I'll smoke in bed? Maybe I'll start drinking whiskey and maybe I'll just start making this my daily routine. It's easy to fall down this slippery slope when we feel a certain way and we speak it out loud. I was talking about the concept when people walk into my office and talk about I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm thoroughly depressed. I am at my wit's end. Man, where is wit's end, by the way? I've always wanted to kind of check that place out. I don't know. It kind of seems like a punishment vacation, wit's end. Yeah, definitely a punishment vacation. I don't know. You know, it's interesting. It's like, what in the hell are you talking about? So think about this. I'm depressed. And that's normal. I understand. I totally understand when people come in and they feel depressed because that's normal. There's a difference to say I feel depressed. I am exhibiting some key, you know, specific symptoms of depression. I woke up today and didn't feel necessarily at my best. For the last 6 weeks, I've been feeling quite down, very blue. The inability to really eat. I can't sleep very well. Those are symptoms of depression, and I understand that. But to sit there and say, I am depressed, means that you are no longer you. You're now depressed. So, Mark, I take your name away. Now you're no longer Mark. Your name is now depressed. Or your name is angry, or resentant, or upset, Or mad. I always like that one too. I am mad. Well, I thought your name was Mark, but that's okay. And see what we do with these languages. It's so subtle. We don't realize what we specifically did right then. We turned a little dial and we changed who we were and made ourselves this emotional feeling. Another one that I hear often, and I hear this from more female clients than male clients. I'll just be honest with you on that. That's what this show is about, is honesty and truth. To explore the human perspective. To explore our perspective. To understand why people do what they do. That's the reason for this show. It's amazing how far we are technologically, but we just can't understand other people's emotions. Or why they do what they do. And that's why this show is so hot right now. Because of that, it shows and shines a light, doesn't exploit, but shines light into the human psyche. So often I hear from women, not always, by the way, and never, not never, but not always. Often I hear that I'm not lovable. I'm not lovable. And if you say that enough, right? If you say that enough, you're going to believe it. And so no matter what somebody says or what they do or what they stand up to or whatever, they're going to ultimately feel there's no way anybody can love me. I am unlovable. I'm never going to find anybody. So therefore, they don't find anybody. And the reason for that is if I say something long enough and I believe it, there's nothing you can do to override it. You know how they talk about how people can pass lie detector tests? And people wonder how. How do they do it? How do they pass that test? And some people, I don't know about y'all, but I have some crazy friends. All of us do. I had a friend one time call me up on the phone and goes, hey, I figured out how they pass those tests. They use a push pin, like you use like in, you know, like in school to hang like a poster or whatever on the wall or at home, a little red or whatever colored push pin. And you put the push pin part, the one that's the plastic part, on the ground, and then you put the pin where you have it right under your big toe, and you fasten it in your shoe so that every time they ask you the question, you put the toe down, and you basically break the skin, and you answer the question a certain way so that it's always going to have your heart rate at a certain level. I'm like, my God, you've really thought about this. I mean, like, is there a reason? Do I need to ask any other questions? Have you also wondered how you can also burn your fingerprints off? Just asking, not an issue, just wanting to know, just an inquiring mind. I want to know. Seriously, though, I mean, that's a lot of thought to go into that, and I'm sure they tested it out. But the reason why most people who might be certifiable are able to pass a lie detector test and lie is because they believe the lie is real. And I'm not saying that it works all the time, but if you honestly believe that the lie that you're telling is not a lie and it's reality, it becomes your reality. Okay? Does that make sense? It makes full sense to me. Because think about it. If you believe that you're never going to make something out of yourself and you're always going to be scraping by, what happens is that no matter what we're offered, we don't see it the way somebody would see it if they didn't believe that kind of, I call it a story. Okay? If you didn't believe that story, you would assume that when people came to you with some amazing offers that they were real, or you'd at least give them the time of day. And so what happens is we work from a limited perspective. So if I was to think that I am unlovable, every person, every man, whatever, that I would meet, no matter what they said, I would think that there was a ulterior motive. Okay? Like, they weren't honest, they weren't truthful, they were lying. Better yet, I might find fault in every one of them. And end the relationship based on some illogical fault that snowballed that I just could not see past. I would also probably use, more so than anything, is I would be very suspicious. overly suspicious and wonder what he was up to. Is he up to something? Oh, yes, the other shoe's gonna fall soon. I just knew that this couldn't last. This has all been bamboozlement from day one. He's been using me. Do you see what I'm saying? That we have to create a storyline and we got to connect the dots. So if I say I'm unlovable and then I meet somebody that's a really great, amazing person, why would they be in my life? Because I'm so unlovable. So it's got to be another reason why they're around. They're either using me or they're, they just got out of a relationship and they're trying to get back at that person, or I'm just the jump off person or whatever it is. There's all these things that we build up in our head. And then no matter what that other person says, they're never going to be right. Because they've always got, you got an ulterior motive. I can feel it. Well, you know what? They might not. They probably don't. Sadly enough, they probably truly love you. But since you don't really love yourself because you're so unlovable based on your reality that you've created, it's never going to work. You're always going to think that there's another reason for it, a motive, some sort of issue, something that stands in the way of this relationship working. I know it's a pity, and I see it often in my office. I see it, and it's hard to take somebody and say, this is what's going on. And so I've been working with some clients recently on this to work on self-limiting behavior and self-limiting language. Because the behavior is an offspring of the language. You know, what we say manifests into reality because we make it a reality. No matter how asinine it may sound, no matter how untrue it may sound, it still forms as a reality in our mind. Stay tuned. When we return, I'm going to be talking about my personal perspective on how limiting your language is and how limiting my language was before, because that's the key. The only way I can talk about this and be totally honest with you and be authentic with you is because I know it. It's not because I read this in some sort of journal. Yeah, I mean, I've read some journals and some stuff on it just to back up the fact that, you know, hey, other people are going through this and other trials are being done and some different type of therapy is being done because I get some ideas on how to work with cognitive therapy and various things to help other people. But at the same time, you know what? It just powers up what I'm talking about. And that's why I can talk about this, because I've been there. And I've done it. And I've gotten to the other side. And I've walked across the street from limiting language to expansive language. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. So stay tuned. I'm talking about how I had limited my language, why I did it, how I did it. And then eventually, toward the end of the hour, we'll talk about how you can expand your life and expand your language. Stay tuned, because Perspectives and Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time and... Heck, this time in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I've been talking about limiting language, how our language can ultimately limit our life. And how language is something that we can make or break it. We can limit, we can expand, we can limit our horizons, we can have no horizons. We can open anything up to reality if we just allow it to be. And right before the break, I was talking about the therapist perspective and how I ultimately see a lot of clients, you know, always or never using those types of terms. It's always happening, it's never happening. But also the I hate my life, I'm depressed and I'm unlovable, and how those types of thoughts that turn into language change somebody's life forever. If you're constantly believing that you are unlovable, no matter who comes in your life, they're not going to really truly love you. You're going to think that there's something going on, that they're up to something, that they're using you, that you're just the spinoff person, that they're just, it's just a fling. You'll never believe that they love you. First off, because you don't love yourself. Otherwise, you would never say, never. You wouldn't say that you were unlovable. Because first off, we got to begin love with ourselves, right? Yes, I did a video on that recently. You can find that on YouTube, and it was pretty cool. It was called Love Hack. Love Hack. And it was about, you know, being, you got to be true love to yourself. You got to be your own soulmate before you're going to meet anybody that's going to be at your level of a soulmate. Yes, you might meet people, but it might not be the right person, because if you're not in the right space in your life and in love, you're going to meet somebody that's in that same awkward, funky space. You know, I don't deserve to be loved. So you're going to find someone else that doesn't deserve to be loved. And both of you are going to have a real, real interesting time with that until eventually somebody wakes up and goes, wait a second, I do deserve to be loved and I am loved. What are you doing over there? So let's talk about it from a personal perspective, from Burgess's personal perspective. You know, I think it's interesting how negative self-thoughts are kind of manifest into this negative self-talk. And then negative self-talk becomes the limiting language that creates my life. And I didn't realize that for a long time. I didn't really understand. And a lot of it was, I was going through an illness for most of my life. And, you know, it was interesting because there were certain words that doctors would throw around that I would just not use. I wanted to throw up before I used it. And one of them was disease. That to me is it's a rough word. It's kind of like you've lost before. There's no way you can win. You've already lost. So you might as well just throw it up there and just give it up. And it was interesting because going through that process for the majority of my life, This was kind of the tipping point right here. And that's, I jumped right to the tipping point because I think this is the most important thing right now to talk about. As I remember several doctors talking about the disease. You have a disease. And I was like, no, I have a dis-ease. And they go, what the heck are you talking about? I said, I have a dis-ease. I'm not at ease. And they go, what does that mean? And I go, It's kind of just saying that my body is having a difficult time right now, so it's not at complete ease, and I understand that. But I'm not going to just write off and give it a death sentence. And I started realizing that my own personal self-thoughts and my personal internal language was becoming an outside language that was limiting me. It was holding me back from achieving what I could definitely achieve, but because I had begun to employ certain languages, it wasn't in the cards. I mean, think about the concept, it wasn't in the cards. What does that mean? Think about language. Once you begin to really think about the language you use, you begin to see it for what it is. You know, one of the things that I did, even when I realized about the dis-ease and disease, and even when I realized that I had to find the love within myself, and I worked on that, and that took to really, and I'm talking about to really find it. Let's not BS it. Let's not just say, oh yeah, check, got that one done. No. To really find self-love, I would say that I couldn't really master it until about a year after I'd been working on it every day. And I still was basically a novice. And I've worked and worked and worked on that self-love. I would say for now, I would say at least 13 years, 14 years. And it's something that you have to do by showing yourself, by being yourself, by doing what's right for yourself. It's an interesting change, you know, like the things that you stop doing, you stop drinking to excess, you stop eating bad food, you start taking care of yourself, you start caring about your body, your skin, all these different things. It's just an interesting, dramatic, I guess you'd say, dramatic change. It's a very neat, really, really, really neat thing. But, you know, it's interesting because even when I found that love and I kept working and creating that and crafting that and believing in that and you know, nurturing that, because that's something you have to nurture every single day of your life, right? You know, for folks out there, if you believe in God, you don't just stop believing in God one day and go back the next day. No. I mean, if you believe, you believe all the time, and you work consistently to get to that next level and to really be even more of a participant and understand why you're here based on, you know, that type of God perspective. And, you know, I was getting there and I was really working on the self-love, and I could really honestly for the first time tell you that I really love myself, and I really like to spend time with myself. And for the first time, I actually enjoyed spending time with myself. I mean, I used to, you know, oh my God, to spend time on my own. Oh God, the gallows, please just take me to the gallows, you know, but I got to that point where I really enjoyed it, and it took a while to get there. But even after I got there, and I kept graduating and graduating from each level, the one thing that I caught myself doing, and I think some of you may be doing this as well, is I would use a lot of self-deprecating humor to kind of joke around and to kind of break the ice with certain circles of people. And it's interesting because it can be quite funny at some times, but I didn't realize how it can honestly hurt you indirectly. Because when we kid around like that, words are literal to our brain. The words that we hear are literal to our brain. That's why texting can be so interesting and so toxic at the same time, because the way we read things and the way we hear things is very literal. And it's hard for us to sometimes devour or masticate the emotion behind it, because we have troubles figuring out our own emotions. It's like we have to go by the book. What did they say? And we go by the book. And so even when we're kidding around and using self-deprecating humor, our body doesn't realize that. We don't realize that. And so unfortunately, it might be funny, but it's actually quite nasty to say about ourselves. And so that was one of the things that I really had to work on after I figured out the self-love and kept working on that day to day. And then that's when I realized I did have to work on that. That there, my friend, was the thing that was also adding to holding me back, because I was making jokes and having fun at my own expense. And so it took a while to get past that. And I still catch myself probably once every couple of months, I'll do something like that. And then it's funny because now I've really surrounded myself by people who don't even... It's not funny to them when I make a comment like that. Like, they don't get it. And that's a good thing, because I've realized who I am, and I've surrounded myself by people who are similar in value. But better yet, I can't even really say it right, because I'm not programmed that way anymore. Does that make sense? It's like when we're programmed a certain way to be very negative for a certain period of time, and then we work to change that, to stop that negativity, over a period of time, even as little as 6 months later, when we say something extremely negative, it seems foreign to us, like odd, like it doesn't seem like it came out of our mouth. You see what I'm saying? We can change the world on a dime. We can change our life in a moment of a word, in a sentence, in a second. It's interesting. Like, one of the things that I remember going through the process I went through with my health was the thoughts and the speaking that I was sick. And that being sick, I'm sick. Think about that. I mean, what does that imply? Sick means illness. Sick means maybe sick in the brain, sick in the head. Sick means, think about what the word sick means. Start thinking about that. And when you're saying that you are that, you're embodied, wrapped up in an enigma of sick. Who wants to be sick? And the longer we say it, and the more we say it, the more we say it with conviction and belief. We could pass a lie detector test. Ma'am, are you sick? Yes, indeed. Certifiable. Guilty as charged. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about. We say it long enough, and it will limit us. And we have to begin to understand what we're saying, how it's limiting us, and how we can begin to stop that, rewind it, and use expansive language to expand our life. Stay tuned. We're returning to be talking about the last two things that I want to talk about from my personal perspective about this concept of language. And then I want to give you a couple of options that you can use today, tonight, right now, to expand your life and to expand your language. Stay tuned because, wait a second, got to plug something first. AshleyBurgess.com. Check out Ashley Burgess, BERGES.com. We just got a facelift, by the way. AshleyBurgess.com just got a magnificent facelift. And so you can see all videos for the entire week, Monday through Friday videos on the homepage. Also, you can check out some other things that are being added up there. That'll be very fun. And if you're needing a speaker, a master of ceremonies, or a master of ceremonies to help you with any sort of event, let me know. You can go to the contact page on there and send me an email and I'll get it ASAP and respond immediately. Check out Spreaker. Also, by the way, I got my own iHeart station. Woo! If you go to iHeart.com, search Ashley, you'll find that the only podcast with the name Ashley in iHeart is this one, Live Your True Life Perspective. Stay tuned because Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back this time. And well, you know, I want to hear you say it. Two shakes.
You could be my luck. Get in here. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Live Your True Life Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight I've been exploring the concept of limiting language and how oftentimes we impart language on our own that limits our life in every way, shape, and form. And before I start talking about how we can expand our language and expand our life, I'm still talking about my own personal perspective because, you know, we've talked about the therapist perspective. We talked about the personal perspective. And like I said earlier, the only reason that I can do this show is because I know. I've been there before. It's not because I've read it in a textbook. Okay, well, this is the way it is. And so therefore, we're going to make this. We're going to talk about this today. We're going to talk about werewolves today. I've read about werewolves. We're going to talk. Yeah, I mean, no. No, when people talk to you about things that they've never lived, I question them. The reason why I question them is because they would not understand why I'm going through it. Do you see what I'm saying? They don't understand what I'm going through, so how can they understand, one, what it's about, two, where it stems from, and three, how to change it, because they never had to do it before. You know, it's like going to a therapist and you're an alcoholic and you're seeing a therapist who's never had a drink in their life. Huh. Yeah. Probably not the smartest choice. So let's talk about from my personal perspective. You know, right before the break, I was talking about how if you sit there and say that you're sick over and over again, what that means. Because if you really think about the definition of sick, there's a lot of things that encompass that. Do you want to roll yourself up in a blanket of sick? My name's Ashley. It's not sick. That's not even my middle name. Not at all. I mean, like Big Time could be my middle name. I don't know, but not sick. So I think about it, it's interesting, all this limiting behavior. Like one of them that I think is hilarious is that when people say, well, we're only human, you know? Yeah, we're just humans. So, we're really lucky to be here. You know, we're going to make mistakes. Well, you know, talk for yourself, man. Speak for yourself. Don't speak for me. Why do I have to only be human? Oh, better yet, one of my favorite ones, this is a great one, and this is a personal one, and y'all are going to laugh because some of you know exactly, I got to do a blog on this. Okay, how many times have you talked to a good friend of yours, even a family member for that matter, and you're talking about your company? Maybe you have a real estate company. Maybe you run a store. Maybe you have a feed store. Maybe you have like a small, like a boutique, whatever it is. Maybe you run a school. Maybe you have a syndicated talk show, whatever it is. Isn't it interesting how people automatically sit there and talk about your little company? Oh yeah, you know, they dabble. And I like the dabble too. She's dabbling in this and they have this little company. What does that mean? And then for us to turn around and accept the dabbling in the little company. I mean, language is very limiting. when you limit it down? Why can't it be big company? Why can't it be a huge project? Why can't it be immersed? She's immersed in her big project work instead of dabbling in her little company. What the heck does that mean? I mean, think about it. That's what I'm talking about, language. And when someone else says it about us, it's funny because we take it personally, right? Think about it. Oh, John over there's got his little company. He dabbles a little bit off here and there. Well, John gets offended, my little company. But sometimes you don't even catch the fact because you're too busy. You're not even thinking about that. But when you do it, you might not catch it. Last but not least, sky's the limit. Why does sky have to be the limit? Why does sky have to be the limit? I don't get it. Why does sky have to be the limit? It doesn't have to be at all. And that's a limiting concept. That's a limited language concept that we often use. And so now that we've talked enough about how we can limit ourselves and how we can basically screw ourselves in every way, shape, and form, let's talk now about how we can expand our language and expand our life. Because I find this extremely relevant anytime, anywhere, in anybody's life right now. Everybody, to some degree, can use a little more of this or can use a lot of this. The first thing that I use that works best for me is something that I think will work best for you. Is it's easier to find fault and it's easier to catch other people doing what you're doing. So I ask you to begin right now to listen to other people talk. Listen to other people's language and catch them doing what I'm talking about right now. And catch them doing what I'm talking about right now. Think about it. Because sometimes it's hard for us to catch ourselves doing it. But if you begin to listen to others' language, you can catch this as a cue. And you can be cued on by this because you can begin to listen to your friends around you and their communication and spot negative or limiting talk. Do you see what I'm saying? You can catch their communication and spot negative or limiting talk. And how do you do that? You listen. It's easy. You're going to hear somebody say in the next few days, I'm sick and tired, I'm depressed, I'm angry, I hate my life. You're going to hear this kind of, I'm never going to get there, it's never going to happen for me, I'm just so upset, I don't know what to do, I'm a mess, I'm a hot mess. You're going to hear all these things and you're going to realize, oh my gosh, Ashley was right. These people are self-limiting, oh my God. See? And as you become more, as you listen more, as you become more observant to what's going on around you, you're going to begin to realize that, yes, no man is an island, unfortunately, so you do it too. And you're going to be starting to catch yourself. And it's going to be kind of humorous because when you see it from another perspective, first off, and you see other people doing it, you go, oh my God, listen to them. But when it comes out of your mouth that next time, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, I do it too. And I'm serious, some of you will freak out, some of you will gasp, some of you won't even realize you said anything, and it'll take a few more weeks to kind of sink in, and others of you will just start laughing. Some of you might even cry because you'll be like, well, crap, here we go, now let's see maybe why my life has been limiting lately, or for my whole life, let's see what I've been saying to myself this whole time. I know, it can be overwhelming, right? Or no. I think it can be very revealing. So first off, take a cue by listening to other people's language. This works very well. It works to echo. And it also works to kind of put it in a position that when you catch yourself, you might actually even think it's funny. And it makes it easier for you to slow down on this limiting language and begin to embrace how to expand your life with an expansive language and realize by listening to what others are saying and not just listening, guys. Don't just listen to what other people are saying and go, oh, self-limiting talk. Look at their lives, okay? Take it from them and look at their lives and think about what they talk about being very limiting and see that they actually have it limited in their life. It's really true. It is true. It is a painted picture. They say it and then you watch them live it. And I'm telling you, if every single person you know is doing it, yeah, I know, you're doing it too. And if they can create their own reality, no matter how crappy that reality is, yeah, you can do it too. Right? That's what I'm talking about. And once you see it in other people, you realize it. Last but not least, what you can begin to do to change your language is to work with some mantras. You can create your own mantra. And I've created mine before, and I've kind of written it down as well. So some of the things that I've created is I wrote down, and I find it very therapeutic to write it down, is that, you know, I love myself. You know, I love my life. I am me. I am happy. I am healthy. I am authentic. I am solid. There are things that you can write down and then you can repeat them on a daily basis. And I like to keep that mantra list on the mirror in my bathroom because when I wake up in the morning, it puts me on the right track. And it works well. And so any of that limiting language is derailed by my expansive language that expands my life. So remember, catch it in others. Take a cue. Watch how their life is based on the language they use and begin to write your own mantra. The things that are awesome, how you love your life, how you're happy with your life, how things, good things happen for you. And over a period of time, the more and more you're successful at employing this new language, the more and more successful your life will be. Check out AshleyBurgess.com. Check out the AshleyBurgessNetwork.com, AshleyBurgessNetwork.com. You can hear Live Your True Life Perspectives on Spreaker, Stitcher, personal iHeart station. You can hear it here on this station. You can hear it anywhere. Check it out. And remember, this life is what you make it to be. You might not have been the wealthiest, you might not have been the poorest, but you can create anything. And wealth is a state of mind. And it's what we make out of the gifts that we've been given. Don't judge yourself against others. Just be better than you were yesterday. Live Your True Life Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back this time in 3 shakes.